Jewish. So this is class two. Voitoven. So now, in the previous class, we talked about the name of God, which begins with an Aleph, and it's pronounced Ekyeh, which is I will be. And, you know, Moshe asks God, "What?" When the Jewish people ask me, "Who you are, what shall I say?" And God says, "Tell them, my name is I will be who I will be." And we discussed how the idea of the future contains within it the idea of fear. And so the Aleph of this name, Aleph He Yud He, has within it the idea of fear, because everything that we fear has to do with the future. And now, there is another name of God that begins with an Aleph, V'oy Tovin. You need to understand something else. Kishem Yudke Vovke, that the name of God, the one that we call the Tetragrammaton, the name of God which is written with four letters, Yudke Vovke, Einom is Bate Klal B'moitzoisapeh. It never, is never, ever pronounced with the mouth, with the kalim of the mouth, with the vessels and tools of the mouth, not with the tongue, with the breath, with the teeth. The name Yudke Vovke doesn't, is never expressed. V'rak mitzamtzemes v'nivlas toich shem adni. The name Yudke Vovke is always swallowed. It goes into a state of tzimtzum and is compressed into the name that we pronounce Adonai, which is my master. And when we read the Yudke Vovke, we pronounce Hashem that way as my master, and therein is the Yudke Vovke, which is Yotze Meforesh Mipinu, which does come out of our mouth. It is expressed explicitly. Vinikras, so the name Yudke Vovke, the name Hashem, or however, you know, if we're going to be learning it here in on the page and on the telephone, it's difficult to know exactly, you know, how to pronounce it so that you have an idea. So I will refer to it as the Shem Havaya, the name of being. And that's how it's known amongst the Kabbalists. It's the name of being because it contains the three words Haya, was, Hoveh, is, and Yihyeh, will be. So the three names Haya, Hoveh, Yihyeh, was, is, and will be have been compressed into this name of four letters, the name Havaya, the name of being, which we don't pronounce under any circumstances whatsoever. So what do? When we read it, we say the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Adonai, which means my master. V'nikra'as, and it is only read, Rak V'zulas Be'ein HaKoyre. You read it, the reader reads the name, the Shem Havaya, the name of being, with his eyes, U'b'moichoy, and with his brain, U'b'liboy, and with his heart, Avaloy B'fiv, but you don't say it with your mouth. V'nimtza, so it comes out, Sheshem Adni, that the name of masterhood, which is written, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, U'k'minaratik, it is like a sheath, Levala Es HaKodesh, that swallows the holiness. L'hachazikbo, to hold it, Shelo Tispashit B'Olam Asiya, and prevents the name, the Shem Havaya, from spreading out into the world. You know, when you pronounce something like, I am talking to you now, the sound that's coming from the telephone is, it comes out in sound waves, right? And it's spreading out, so maybe in this state it's only going into your ear, but you know, here I'm speaking in a room, and the sound of my voice is spreading out into the universe, and if you put, you know, if you put a sound recorder on the window on the outside, you can hear my voice, you know? So the vibrations that I'm making with my speech are spreading outwards into the universe, and they never stop, right? So the fact that we don't pronounce the Shem Havaya means that we are prevented, or we prevent it from spreading out into the universe. So it sits on the page, unpronounced. Shetisho'e ach v'rak b'oilam ha'kavana. So the name, the Shem Havaya, the name of God's being, the name of four letters, only exists in the world of kavana, which is the world of your thought, the world of your heart. V'zeh tzimtzum noir v'adir. So this is an awesome, powerful tzimtzum, Shein Kumar, there's nothing like it. There's nothing that can compare with it, right? That we have the name of God that we feel is like the essence, or the, as essential as you can get to the essence, and we don't pronounce it, right? We don't allow it to be mitpashet, to spread into the world. Kishem Yudke Vovke, because the name of God, which is the Shem Havai of four letters, Hu Kula Chasodim Gemurim, it is entirely Chasodim. It is loving kindness. There is no restrictions, there's no constrictions, there's nothing in the Shem Havaya, in the name, the four-letter name, which is restrictive. What does it mean, chasadim, right? What the essence of chesed is that it doesn't care who's the receiver, right? Chesed just gives regardless of, you know, the state of the soul of the receiver. Chesed will protect and give succor and sustenance to the murderer just as much as it will to the baby. Chesed's not really interested in the worthiness of the receiver, because chesed is a state of giving without boundaries. Bli tarovas dinim agvuras, and there are no judgments or withholdings in the chesedim of the Shem Havaya, of the name of Havaya. Ve'ev shaloyma, it's, you could say, Shem Havaya hu kamo ilev, that the name of being is like the heart, shetoich guf shem adni, which is inside the body. It empowers the body of the name Adni, my master, right? So the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is another form of constriction. So the previous, last week we were talking about the name Aleph Hey Yud Hey. This week we're looking at the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, and the important thing is that it begins with an Aleph. So this is another one of the powerful tzimtzumim that exist, that God is, so to speak, constricted and pressed in into this, into a form. What is the form? The form is the Shem Adni. We go on to the next paragraph. V'shloishim v'shtayim pa'omim shenichtav Shem Elikim b'masah Bereishis. If you open up a Torah in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth, and it says, Bereshit bara Elokim et ha-shamayim et ha-aretz. So that name, Elokim, which means God, it occurs exactly 32 times from that very first phrase until the end of the first chapter, where it says, in it was the sixth day, Yom HaShishi, Vayichulu HaShemayim Va'aretz, and heaven and earth and all the hosts were finished, and until the end, it says, Asher Bara Elohim La'asot, that God had created. And from there, till there are exactly 32 mentions of this name, Elohim. And the name Yudke Vavke, the Shem Havaya, the tetragrammaton, doesn't appear in the first chapter at all. It doesn't appear until later, as we're going to learn. So the name Elohim has to do with these 32, the 32 pathways that we mentioned in the beginning of Sefer Yetzirah, the very first Mishnah that we're studying, Belamed Beis Nisivos Pliyos Chachma, with these 32 miraculous, wonderful pathways of wisdom. So another tzimtzum that we're going to be talking about is this name Elohim. Mimama Breshis Bora Lekim, from the very first where it says God created, Ad Sofia Mashishi Shikosev Boya Shibora Lekim Lasis. The Inyan Shem Elohim, the meaning of this name of God Elohim, which is Begimatria Hateva. Elohim is Gematria Hateva, which means nature. So, what does that mean? You have, God creates the world, right? But he does it in such a way that, to all intents and purpose, it is a product of nature. And that fact itself is the makor v'sharesh ha-hester. That is the source and the root of the hiddenness of God. That, in fact, it wasn't God by another name, or God by his essential name of Havai, of being, that creates the world, but it's in fact God as Elohim, which the word Elohim is plural. Right? Not that we're saying, God forbid, that we're saying, suggesting that God is more than one, because, you know, our faith is based on the idea that God is one. Nevertheless, in the whole story of creation, God refers to himself as Elohim, which is a plural form. Because all of creation begins with this plurality, right? You know, whether it's, if it boils down to nothing but cause and effect, you know, this is a Torah from Kaplan, right? The idea that you cannot reduce anything in creation to less than two aspects of being. Either it's a cause or effect, but the fact that you have cause and effect already are two things. That nothing in creation is a unit, right? There is no naked singularity. Umeetzem kedushas shem Elokim, and it's from the essential holiness of the name Elokim. Someches hagvuros, that the gvuros, the withholdings. You know, if you have two, then there are boundaries. Because if there are no boundaries, it's just one, right? So if there are two things, if there are only two things in the entire universe, right, then there are boundaries, there are limits, there are distinctions, there are attributes and accidents, you know, there are whole schema and order of words with which to describe, you know, those two things, right? So if there's only one, if there's only God, there is no necessary description. But if there are two, then I ask you, well, how do you know there are two? And you say, well, this is there and that's there. Okay, so there's already distinction, whether it's a distinction in position or a distinction in their outside appearance. I mean, if they have an outside and an inside, then each of them is already more than one, and so on and so on. So from the name Elohim, there grows a whole order of beings and things in the universe, which are ordered, and you know, they're ordered because they have boundaries, and they have constriction or restrictions. Shebehem mislabeshes, so God Elohim dresses in those gvurot, in those boundaries, umistateres, and is there hidden thereby. Kielu v'kavyochla, as though, as it were, yesh koyach lahakrish hashgocha protis shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is the ability in the world to deny divine providence, right? There are millions of people in the world calling themselves atheists or agnostics or whatever, who will say that, you know, there is nothing in the entire creation that you can't explain by the laws of nature, right? And they're quite right. So the laws of nature, they hide God. So God has hidden himself in the very creation that he has created. That aspect of God that hides itself, that is called Elohim. So as though it were possible to, you know, because it's possible to deny the divine providence shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu alai lomai loima, to say chas v'chalila she'ein hakol bidei shamayim, to say it's not all in the hands of heaven, right? That the heavens created themselves, right? Mikiven shenimtza ezekoyach l'teva chas v'chalila, because there is some power that has been given to the teva, to nature. And the truth is, v'emesu she'ein zeh rak l'simaris ein anushi. This is only to the human eye, the observer, cannot look anywhere in the universe and say, I prove the existence of God, because that is the way that God has set his universe up, right? God hides himself, clothes himself in the Teva, in HaTeva. Elohim is HaTeva. HaTovs Nitzmach. So where does this error in perception, where does it grow from? Mehahester Shemistata Kodesh Baruch Hu, from the fact that God purposely hides himself. V'kavin yochel nidme levnei odam, and as it were, it seems to people, ki'ilu mechase kvoidoi, that God hides his glory, v'achdusoi, and his unity, v'shem Elohim, in this name that he gives himself, which is Elohim. So, when we talk about Belamed base in these 32 Nesivois Plios Chachma. What are these 32? These 32 are the name Echyeh, and the name Adni, and the name Elohim, which are all of them connected with the hiding of God. Now, the reason that we're going on to now the next note, which is Lamed based Nesivois. Nesiv, the word for pathway is Nesiv, but the word itself is going, we're going to be talking about it later, because it is twice the numerical value of the 231 gates, which are made by the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, which we're going to be looking at later. So the word Nativ, the gematria of the word Nativ is actually 462, because gateways can be entered from one side and can be entered from the other side. So each of the 231 gateways is a double gateway, right? It's from both sides. So we're going to be coming to that later in Perek Beis. So now, the next paragraph, Vekosh, there's a question. My boy Lemema, my Nafkimina, why does the Sefer Yetzirah open with the statement that God creates the world with these 32 paths? V'lama posach Sefer Yetzirah b'mamazu? Why open the book like this? We hear nothing in the whole Sefer Yetzirah about these 32 pathways. It's as though they get introduced and then we never hear from them again. And we don't know what purpose, why they're created, or why they are used, why they are pathways. I mean, we realize at some point that the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet and the 10 sefirot together, they make 32 paths. But why are they called paths? You know, pathway is something that you walk down or up. And we never really hear, you know, why this analogy, or what, you know, why they're called pathways, or why make a connection between the 22 letters and the 10 sefirot in such a way. We never hear of it again. So, v'hine lefarish, in order to explain it, yesh leimer, we could say like this. K'mo yishechamishe chumshe toira, nikroim al shem Moshe Rabbeinu, olabashem. Just the way that the five books of Moses are called the five books of Moses, right? Even though it's the Torah of God, right? It's the Torah of the Jewish people. They are called the five books of Moses, umyuchosim elov, and they are ascribed to him. K'mo shemesaimim kol divrei neviim b'malachi perek gimel, the last of the prophets is Malachi. At the end of chapter gimel of Malachi, it says, Zichru Torah Moshe Avdi, God says, my last message through the prophets is remember the Torah of Moshe, my servant. Right? So the Torah of Moshe. Kein Sefer Yetzirah miyuchas l'Avram Avinu. So by tradition, the Sefer Yetzirah is ascribed, attributed to Avraham. And so we find Mesaimim Perek Vav, that the last Mishnah in chapter 6 ends, Kiven Shetzof Avram Avinu, because Avraham looked and saw, V'chokah, and he delved, V'heven, and understood, V'chokah, and he carved, etc., etc. So the final Mishnah of Sefer Yetzirah attributes the whole of the work of the Sefer Yetzirah to Avraham Avinu, and in fact our tradition is that on the day he circumcised himself, God gave him the Sefer Yetzirah, which are sort of the plans, the blueprints for creation. And just as the five books of Moses, the end is connected to the beginning, the last letter in the Torah is, the last word is Yisrael. The last letter of Yisrael is the Lamed. The first letter in the Torah is Breishis, which is the base. So if you connect the end of the Torah to the beginning of the Torah, you get a Lamed base. Right? Yisrael Breishis. And so our Sefer Yetzirah also begins with Lamed Beis. Kach Ramaz Lanu Kam B'Sefer Yetzirah, and that's the hint that we're getting here. Kaloyma. Ba'ois Lamed Beis Sheyesh L'Dag B'Toras Moshe. All those learnings, all those readings, all that midrash that we can learn into the five books of Moses when we connect the end to the beginning. Kein Kam B'Sefer Yetzirah, you can do the same thing by going to the end of the Sefer and connecting it to the beginning of the Sefer. Notes, Soifon, Betchiloson, the end is connected to the beginning, and that is one of the deep insights of Sefer Yetzirah, is in fact that time and space and creation and humanity and history is in fact an end that is connected to a beginning. So, we're on the next paragraph. V'hinei hirchavti bio b'mokem acher, in another book that I wrote called The Mystery of the Tamar, of the date palm, Soid HaTamar. So, I explained at length there, she'ha'shamayim atzman nislabshu v'nisatvu b'dvar Hashem, that the heavens, creation, was dressed in the Word of God, clothed in the Word of God. Right? God speaks. God spoke. Vayomer Elokim Yihyar. God said, "Let there be light." Vayihyar. Right. So the creation, in fact, the whole of the Sefer Yetzirah, as we're going to be learning, is to discover how the words of God become the flesh and the blood and the oxygen and the iron and whatever it is that we are, you know, we are. Right. How do these words that God uttered become creation? So, what I want to say now is that heaven and earth were waiting, wrapped in the Word of God. V'chiku, and they stood, waiting v'loy nistaimu, and they weren't finished, b'masa b'reishis. When we read the story of creation, in the beginning God created heaven and earth, and then we read the whole book of Genesis, and we get the impression that things have happened. But it's an incorrect impression. V'loy nigmarag b'riyoson u'melachton, the creation and the work of creation had not finished, wasn't done. Ad she'oma Moshe Rabbeinu le'bashulim b'feirish ma'ama b'reshis bora. We learn in the Gemara, on Rosh Hashanah, when we blow the shofar, we have to read 10 verses that deal with memory, that God remembers things. We have to read 10 verses that deal with God's majesty, that God is king of the world. And we have to read 10 verses that deal with the shofar, the blowing of the shofar, whether it's on Rosh Hashanah, or in the Beis HaMikdash, or in the desert, or at different times in Jewish history, when troubles came and we blew the shofar. So the Gemara says, why must we have 10 verses? And the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, well, because the world was created with 10 sayings. God said, let there be light. God said, let there be heavens. God said, let there be dry land, and so on. So, because God created the world with 10 mamarim, with 10 sayings, so therefore, we do things in holiness with tens. So the Gemara says, but wait a minute, if you count creation, there may be 32 times that the name Elohim is mentioned, but if you count how many times God said, or how many times the Torah says, and God said, Vayomer Elohim, there are only 9. So, the Gemara says, well, Bereshit bara Elohim, the phrase, in the beginning God created, that's also a mamar. That's also a saying. So, I have a question for you. Who said it? Who said, Bereshit bara Elokim et hashemayim ve'et haaretz? If God didn't say it, right? God's, the first thing that God says is, Yehi Or, right? So the first time the words Bereshit bara Elokim, in the beginning God created heaven and earth, are uttered, they are uttered by Moshe when he teaches us the Torah. Up until that point, they had never been said. At the moment that Moshe utters those words, that is the moment that creation is finally complete. Up until that point, there was what scientists call a virtual reality. Right? That something exists, and it exists only so long as nature doesn't realize that the laws of nature have been broken, but as soon as Right? So something can come into existence from nothing, so long as it disappears faster than Planck's time, right? And then nature doesn't notice that the laws of nature have been broken and so on. Right? You have a situation where everything in the world is, in fact, there's a world, there are people living in it, right? But heaven and earth haven't really been created yet, because nobody's actually said the words, "In the beginning God created heaven and earth." And we know from learning Sefer Yetzirah, as we're going to be learning, that until the words are actually spoken out loud, for the same reason that we don't speak the name of God, which is the Shem Havaya, the name of being, we don't speak it out loud because it may not be said, right? Because there's something about speaking out loud that sends the vibrations going to the end of the universe. You know something? The words, "In the beginning God created heaven and earth," they were never said until Moshe said them. And that is the mystery, that is the soid of the Asura Ma'amores Shebehen Nivra Olam, the 10 sayings with which the world are created. So therefore the Ma'amar, the saying, "In the beginning God created," it's the first, but it's actually the last. In the Torah it's written the first, but in reality it was the last one to be uttered. Cain, so also, if you look in Genesis chapter 2 verse 4, it says, "Eile toldos hashamayim v'ha'oretz behiboram." These are the chronicles of heaven and earth when they were created. And the Midrash says, "Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcho, behiboram," when they were created, if you look at the way the word is written, it is the same as though it had written B'Avraham, B'Zechuto Shel Avraham, that it was in the merit of heaven and earth that the world, it was in the merit of Avraham that the world is created. Shegam B'Yamav U'B'Kocho, because it was in Avraham's day as well as in Moshe's day. In Moshe's day, there is the final saying of the phrase, "In the beginning God created heaven and earth." And in Avraham's day, something else happened, which we are going to be learning about now, which is crucial to our understanding of heaven and earth. Because it was Avraham's power that gave birth, in retrospect, to heaven and earth. So let's have a look at the next paragraph. It says, "I'm a Medrash Rabbah." Have a look in the Medrash Rabbah. It says like this, "Ele toildois," these are the chronicles. "V'omer Rabba Vuhu." Rabbi Avuhu says, "Kol mokoim shenema ele," wherever you have in the words in the Torah, it says ele, these, "posal es harishonim," it's coming to disqualify what was said previously. You know, this week's Sedra is Parshas Mishpatim. It's the parsha that deals with slavery and all kinds of monetary disputes and damages and stuff like that, and it begins, "V'ele ha-mishpotim," and these are the laws. And these, "V'ele." And so Rashi says, of course, it's got "V," which means just as the Ten Commandments are given at Sinai, "V," and these are also given at Sinai. So we don't distinguish between those Ten Commandments and say, well, all the other laws that Moshe taught us, they weren't really from Sinai. No, we treat them all, we give them all the same respect and equality. Had this week's Sedra begun "Ele Mishpotim," these, and not "and these," our attitude would be completely different, right? We'd say, this got nothing to do with what went previously, right? So now, chapter 2 of the creation of the world begins "Ele Toldos," these are the chronicles, not "and these are the chronicles." Maz b'sham ha-medrash she-posal toyo v'voyo v'choshech. And so the Medrash explains the disqualification of what went previously as there being a disqualification that chaos and void and darkness and so on no longer exist. I want to say differently, that there's another teaching here. Ve'ef she-loimesh Avraham posal le-gamri kol ha-briya she-nivra ad kan. It was Avraham's coming. Because the Medrash begins, "Ele toldos shemayim v'ha'aretz behiboram." Don't read it behiboram, read it as Avraham. Right? So when Avraham comes along, everything that has gone before him is null and void. Shalai nivru b'shem havaya, because they were not created with the shem havaya, the name, the four-letter name of God, of being. Elo rak b'shem elokim. The entire story of creation up until chapter 2 never mentions shem havaya, never mentions the God of being, only Elohim. And because Avraham, his midah is chesed, right? Avraham is the merkava, so to speak, the divine paradigm of loving kindness. When he comes along, he changes things, as we're going to learn. V'chein mamshech haposuk, if you read the verse, if you continue reading the verse, it says, these are the chronicles of heaven and earth. B'yoim, on the day, asois Hashem Elohim Eretz v'shamayim, on the day that Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei, the God of being, Elohim, it says the two names together, created earth and heaven. And this is the first mention of Havaya, of the name Yudkei Vavkei in the Torah. And it's a pivotal point, right? First of all, it's Ela, it disqualifies everything that has gone beforehand, and it puts the two names together, Hashem Elohim, but more importantly, it puts Hashem before Elohim. Mishekodam v'shitas midas arachmim l'midas adin. Because when the characteristic of compassion is introduced, niskaimu ha'olam, the world had existence. K'muvan b'rashi, b'reshis aleph aleph. One of the very first Rashis, and we know Rashi is our most favorite commentator on the Torah. If you want to know who we are as Jewish people, you can't really get away from Rashi. We see ourselves as products of the Jewish people in the shape of Rashi, the way we understand our Torah, the way we related as scholars to the text, to the text, whether it's the five books of Moses or the prophets or especially the Talmud, right? How do we know who we are? He's our map. Rashi is our anchor, our lighthouse. He is an amazing figure, and maybe at some point we'll have an opportunity to learn Rashi together. Rashi, the very first Rashi in the Torah, Rashi comes and makes the connection between chapter 2 and chapter 1. Our Torah begins, in the beginning, Elohim created heaven and earth. Chapter 2 says, these are the chronicles of heaven and earth on the day that Hashem Elohim created earth and heaven. So Rashi brings a Medrash. The Medrash says that in the beginning, God's idea was that he would create a world where things happen if you make them happen, right? If you deserve rain, it rains. If you don't deserve rain, it doesn't rain. If you hurt somebody, bang, you get hurt. And you know, and so on. So there's like a quid pro quo for everything that happens. It is a world of din, right? A world of justice, of law, of things happen because that's the law, right? It's a world of gevurot. Ro'o she'ena miskai. So God saw that the world couldn't exist that way. Higdim midas harachmim v'shitfa l'midas adin. So God introduced the quality of compassion and mercy, which is the name Hashem, the divine name of four-letter name of being, and made it a partner. So now, in the second chapter, you have Hashem Elohim. Interesting, Rashi puts in one word that most people don't notice. He says, Higdim midas harachmim. God put the Midas HaRachamim first. And that's how we find it here in chapter 2, verse 4, where it says, on the day that Hashem Elohim created earth and heaven. So it's not that the name Hashem was added in retrospect to creation, but no, the name Hashem precedes the name Elohim. So you learn the entire chapter 1 of Genesis, and all you get is Vayomer Elohim, and Elohim said, and Elohim did this, and again. And then you get to chapter 2, and it says, and this is the chronicles of heaven and earth on the day that Hashem Elohim created earth and heaven. Shemishikodem v'shituv midas rachman and midas adin niskaimu. Let's go to the next paragraph. V'im kein, and therefore, lamed beis nesivois, when we talk about these 32 pathways, shehein soida yirois v'hapachat shebelev, which are these 32 pathways, which are said are the source and the source of the, when we say soid, the mystery of fear. Soid ehaya lo osid, which is the mystery of the name ehaya, I will be, the future, which is the source of all fear, because we only fear things in the future. Vesoid elikim, and the mystery of elikim, which is the makor hahestoponim, which is the source of the hiding of God's face in nature. Vesoid adni, and the mystery of the name adni, which is Hamizgabal Shem Havaya, which overpowers the name Havaya, Shebhen Nivra Olam, with these three names, the world is created. Kulam Nitnu La'Avram Avinu B'Yom Amila. They were all given to Avraham on the day of his circumcision. K'shemosal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sefer Yitzira HaNechochi, when God gave Avraham this Sefer Yitzira that we're learning. V'nizbatlu Kulan Ki'ilu Nifsalu, and they were all null and void, they disappeared, they melted as though they didn't exist anymore. Besoid, in the mystery of Eile, Poisel Esarishainim. The word Eile dismisses what has gone previously. So, therefore, our Sefer Yetzirah begins with these 32 pathways, but we want you to know that even before we get there, they're already gone. The 32 pathways with which the world are created are nullified in retrospect by the appearance of Avraham. And we are learning the Sefer Yetzirah, which is Avraham's book, and therefore we're telling you that the world is created with these 32 paths, but it's not really germane because they don't exist. They never existed. Umemele muvan lama loy niskevel in his parsh in an alamed beis nesivois. And now we understand why these 32 pathways are not explained at length. Because when Avram Avinu arrives on the scene, the Yorash Kala Olam, and he inherits the world, the Chala Brochis, and all the blessings in the world. And once Avram and Sarah are blessed, and they are given the tidings, Al Oides Leidas Yitzchak, on the birth, about the birth of Yitzchak. So the 32 pathways have already faded. They've already disintegrated. They've already melted and become something else. So what do we get from this? So with these 32 pathways with which God carved the world, They only came into existence for a moment. And so with them, as they disintegrated and disappeared and melted or whatever, faded away, then all the fear, all the withholding, all the terror that came with them, that is a part of their essence, that also disappeared. And in their place, nishavu lamed beis nesivois acheres, now there are 32 new pathways, meleois rotzon v'chasodim, which are just full of goodwill and kindness. Which is, what are the 32 pathways which are full of this is the lev, the heart, the lamed beis, shel Avram Avinu, of Avraham himself. She'ein bo pachad, Avraham has no fear. Avram has no fear because he doesn't live in the world of Bereshit Bara Elokim. He lives in the world of Bereshit Bara Hashem Elokim. Ulohovin achilika shebein lamed beis to psicha sefer yetzirah, in order to understand the difference between those 32 pathways with which the sefer yetzirah opens, the lamed beis shel Avram Avinu in the heart, the 32 of Avram Avinu, that you should know. Ki kosvu, they say in the Zohar Kodesh, it says like this. There's a Ezehu chosid, what is a chosid? Hamit chasid im kono. Somebody who does chasidut. See, the word chasid becomes very commonly used, right? The chasidim, right? But the root of the word is chesed, right? Loving kindness, which is loving kindness that has no boundaries, right? So, the definition, the real definition of a chosid, is not somebody who dances with his Rebbe, or who wears a Shtreimel, or who doesn't eat gebrokts on Pesach. Right? The real meaning of a chassid is someone who does chesed with his creator. That's the definition. Someone who does unstinting, unremitting, boundaryless love with his creator. What does that mean? It means that all the kindness, the loving kindness, the extra, you know, we talk about a chassid is somebody who goes lifnim mishuras adin, beyond the letter of the law, right? All the length, we know from the way Avraham treated these strangers, you know, he says he ran out to me, he was ill, right? He just had a bris, and he ran out into the hot day to come and beg them to come to his house. He washed their feet, and he prepared food for them, and he stood over them as they were eating, and he was 100 years old, and had just said, you know, Avraham went way, way beyond the letter of the law. But Shara Vedosa Shel Avraham Avinu, all of it, his love and his unstinting giving, Hoyeraka Vokoina, it was all for God. You know, when, you see, We're so far from understanding like what the real meaning of chesed. You know, first of all, most of us think that when you see somebody starving on the street and you give them charity, that's chesed, right? It's not chesed, right? That we do for ourselves, right? When I see somebody hurting, they're starving, and I give them money, the person I'm giving it to is myself, because it hurts me to see them hurting. So when I give them money, I feel better, right? So, you know, when we're a long way from chesed, right? At this point, I'm just taking care of my own feelings of embarrassment and having when somebody there is a have-not, and so on and so on. Like, I'm a long way from being at the real chesed and tzedakah and charity and all this kind of thing, right? So let's say I'm at the level of really having compassion with a human being and helping them out. You know, that is a really high level of chesed. Avraham Avinu was at a much higher level of chesed that had nothing to do with this world at all. All Avraham's chesed that he did with us, with the people, with the world, it was for God. We can't even like understand what that means. Hamis chesedim koinoi, right? So maybe to understand just a little bit is to understand that when I do something for God, it means Avraham's, when he gives money or gives food to this poor person, he's in dialogue with God. He doesn't see himself. It's not Avraham giving. It's like, God, I'm giving for you. I hope I'm giving enough for you. Is there anything else you want me to give for you? Right? Avraham doesn't see himself acting for himself. He sees himself acting for God, right? Mitchased im koinoi. And so even the chasadim that he did with his friends and with the Canaanites and the Hittites among whom he dwelt, his kavana all the time is to do chesed with God. Now, v'zehu achilik, and this is the difference shebein chasadim ahem, between those kind of loving kindnesses, ubein chasadim shebehem nivra ha'olam, and the kindnesses with which the world was created. Now this is a complicated thought, so you have to follow me here. Shachasodim Paul Avraham Avinu, the kindness, the love that Avraham Avinu did, Loihoya Behem Shum Tarovis Gavura, there was no admixture of withholding. Avraham Avinu, when he was doing love and kindness, he didn't have to overcome himself. Boy, he didn't have to like say, no, I've got to do that. No, I mean, he was just full of love without any boundaries. But those loving kindnesses with which the world was created, they were all wrapped in gevura. As we've said, there was the Shem Elohim, there was the Shem Adni, there's the Shem Ekya. All these names are one form of Tzimtzum or another. And what is the meaning of Tzimtzum? It's withholding, right? So all of them whether it's the name Ekia, which suggests the future, which is full of fear that makes me hold back, or Meshem Elikim, or whether we're talking about the name of God Elikim, which is the source of Hester, of hiding in nature, or Meshem Adni, whether we're talking about the name of God Adni, Hamitzamtzim Shem Havai, which compresses and suppresses the name of Havai, of being, K'muvel El, as we said above. She calls Shifosu Shel Avraham Avinu, because Avraham Avinu's entire being, his only desire, was Rek, his heart, right? Because Avraham Avinu's 32 paths are his heart. And as we said right at the beginning, what's the meaning of heart? The heart only has one word that it says in its entire lifetime, and that word is please. What does Avraham want? He says, please, God, just be in the world. Like, be, let everybody see you, please. Avraham's whole life, he couldn't think of anything else but trying to make a world in which God will be comfortable, or try and sort of, he says, God, like, if you have some kind of job you need me to do, please consider me. You know, I don't think I'm worthy or anything, but like, why, I'm sure the world is ready for you. Why don't you just reveal yourself? Please come and dwell with us. Let everybody see why you're hiding in the name Elohim, why you're hiding in nature. God, you are so glorious. We want to worship you. Everybody would want to worship you the way I want to worship you. If you would just let everybody see you, please, God, why don't you reveal yourself? And this is what Avraham did his whole life. That's all he was about, right? Tefillah b'liboy, it was a tefillah in his heart, shigalim al chusoy, that God's majesty be revealed, v'shechinosoy, and his shechina, v'yispashet kvoidoy, and that his glory just spread b'oylam le'enei kol chai, to the eyes of every living thing, ad ein sof, without end. V'ritzoynoy ha'poshet shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now if we get back to looking at the simple desire that we talked about, the Rotzon HaPoshet of God, what did that bring about? God's simple desire brought about a Tzimtzum Oiroi, a compression, right? We said that when God's desire to give to us, what did it result in? It resulted in a feeling of lacking, right? When God says, I want, right? It means that there's something God doesn't have, right? So the feeling that the Tzimtzum, we talked about last week, that the Tzimtzum in God is not that God constricts his light. There's no necessity for that. Just when God says, I want you, that already is the ultimate Tzimtzum, because God is saying there's something I want, I don't have, I'm going to have to, I need it, right? So God's love for us, when God said, I want you, to us, that results in a Tzimtzum. Whereas when Avraham says, I want, that doesn't result in a Tzimtzum. Aval Ritzoyna Shel Avraham Avinu, but Avraham's desire, B'china Ele Posalas Rishayna, when it says, and these, which we said before, means that these negate everything that came before, B'chinas Rotzen HaPoshet, which is Avraham's simple desire being manifest, Lehetiv Lekoinoi, to do something for his Creator, Hifkia Hezikuk L'Ritzoyna Kaveyochol. So when we talk in the Kabbalah about somebody being a Merkava for a certain character of God, it means that when the person is doing it, God doesn't need to do it, right? So when Avraham is being the Chesed, it's like God says, I will leave it to Avraham. While he's here, he'll be the paradigm. And when Yitzhak was alive, Yitzhak was the paradigm of Gevurah, and so on. And so Avraham becomes the paradigm of Chesed. And so God says, I will let Avraham model it in the universe. But Avraham's Chesed is different than God's Chesed, because Avraham's Chesed doesn't require any Tzimtzum. Whereas God's Chesed meant there had to be a Tzimtzum. As we said, im yesh din lamato, ein din lamalo. If there is judgment, God said, if there's justice in the world, I'm not going to have to sit on my throne and judge people. And so if there is chesed in the world, I'm not going to have to sit and decide who gets chesed. Shehoy Avraham Avinu merkova lemidas chesed, she'im bo gvuras v'tzimtzum oiriz bo. So Avraham Avinu brought about a kind of love in the world that was, in a sense, greater than God's love, because God's love for us meant that he had to do Tzimtzum to himself, whereas Avraham Avinu's love didn't mean that God has to do Tzimtzum. And now we can understand the Mishnah in Avot. The Mishnah in chapter 5 of Avot says there were 10 generations, Me'odam v'ad Noach, 10 generations from Adam until Noah, La'idia kam erech ha'paim nefonav, to let us know how patient God is. Shikol ha'dor yisoyim achi isi nebo, and all the generations, they were annoying and provoking. Ad shehev yalem es mea mabu, until God brought the deluge, the flood. Asora doiris mi Noach al Avraham, and there were 10 generations from Noach to Avraham. La'idia kam erech ha'paim nefonav, to let us know how patient God is. Shikol ha'dor yisoyim achi isi nebo, and they were all provoking, getting worse, Hatshabah Avraham Avinu v'kibul schar kulam, until Avraham arrives and he receives the reward for all of them, for all the 20 generations that went before him. So the question is, Ma'ischar kibul Avraham? What do you mean Avraham gets the reward? You tell me that they're all provoking. You tell me that they were all getting worse and worse. And he says, Avraham comes and he gets the reward. What does that mean? But with what we've just said, we can understand this Mishnah. Because the 20 generations that were from Adam, from the creation, so to speak, of the world till Avraham, they were all in that world that was created Vayoma Elohim, Vayivra Elohim. These were the 32 Elohims. This is a world in which Gevura, in which withholding, has as much room as the giving. Because, as we said, the names of God that begin with the Aleph, these are the names of God that are and these 20 generations. Because God's creation requires that there be a tzimtzum. Avol oisa bria. But now, you've got the bechina of Avraham, who recreates the world. And so, he does this chesed with his creator, that he says, God, you don't have to create the world, leave it to me. And Avraham brings about a new creation. As we say, Eile Posol is a Rishonim that disqualifies the original one. And now, from now on in the Torah, you have the name of God, which is written Yud Kei Vav Kei, on the day that Hashem Elohim. So it's as though the world of Elohim had never been created. It was Posol is a Rishonim, it was disqualified, faded away. There was a new world. But in the new world, God can give without constriction. So therefore, the God who wanted to give all those 20 generations but was constrained from giving because of the name Elohim and the name Adni and so on, that God was now free in a sense because Avraham Avinu had disqualified that creation and had brought a new creation into being, the one that is powered by Hashem Elohim. And so Avraham is now free because those people are gone. Avraham is free to receive the creation. So here we are. We haven't finished the first Mishnah yet, but I feel we need to stop here.